Hi everyone, welcome to the third episode of the Players Lounge, the tennis podcast that focuses on the mental aspect of the game. I am Jennifer Megan. I am a former professional tennis player, and I started this podcast because I wanted to create a space in which young tennis players and players who are on tour can find the mental tips, tools, I mean anything that could help them to improve their mental game and to reach their full potential. In this third episode, I will discuss Novak Djokovic's mental toughness. And hopefully, after this episode, you will be able to use some of his mental tactics and apply them to your game. We will discuss what shark empathy is and how you can apply to your game, how to use adversity in order to improve your mental game, and how adopting a growth mentality will make you a better tennis player. Is Novak Djokovic the greatest of all time? I don't know. Maybe. To be honest, it doesn't really matter. What I believe is that he should definitely be part of this conversation alongside Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal, because what he has achieved over the past 10 years is quite remarkable. What I'm pretty sure is that Novak Djokovic is probably the greatest of all time at shark empathy. What is shark empathy? Empathy is defined as the ability to feel one's emotion. And although empathy is not often talked about in sport, there is a certain form of empathy that proves to be very useful in tennis, and this is shark empathy. Sharks are known to be able to smell a drop of blood from miles away. Well, shark empathy applied to the game of tennis is the ability to sense your opponent's weaknesses when your opponent is mentally going down and to use that in order to get the win. Because especially at the highest level, everyone is able to hit a forehand or a backhand. And the difference is often seen in the mental, in who takes the mental edge. And although they have different games, Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic, these three legends of our game share a common character. And this is shark empathy. And when it's crunch time, it seems that these three just press a button and they step up the game. They don't just know how to deal with the pressure. They excel under pressure. But to me, Djokovic is the biggest shark empath of this trio. Over the past 10 years, he has taken, to my opinion, the mental edge over Nadal and Federer. And it's very interesting to analyze that, especially in his rivalry with Roger Federer, because we've seen that several times he was able to come back from match point down and to get the win. The last example is the final of Wimbledon. Federer had 2 match points, and Djokovic was able to hit the perfect passing shot. I mean, if you look at on YouTube, you will see that moment. So Federer is serving at 45-40-15, and he's serving, and then he misses the first match point by hitting an first error. And then at 40-30, he serves, and then he tries to put pressure on Djokovic's forehand, which is his weakest shot, by coming to the net. And at this moment, Djokovic hits the perfect short cross-court passing shot and then ended up winning the game. And this was not the first time that he did that against Federer. He had already saved 2 match points in the semi-final of US Open in 2010 and 2011, And each time it seemed that he was playing his best when he was under pressure. And you can tell when you're watching him playing against these two, which is whether it's Federer or Nadal, who I believe are better technically than Djokovic, and they can do probably much more. I mean, Federer, for sure, we all know how great it is. And I think also Rafa might have also a technical edge. But it seems that when it comes to the mental game, although these two are amazing champions and amazing fighters and extremely skilled mentally, Djokovic always manages to sense the moment, the tiny moment where they go mentally down. And the way he does that is that he not only just use that moment of weakness, he also couple this with his best play. What you notice is that he notices the mental lack of focus, perhaps the little drop of concentration, and then he plays. That's when he goes for his best shots, that he uses his backhand. That's when he doesn't hesitate to be a bit maybe more conservative, or to know exactly the play that he needs to do to win the point at this moment. And I think that shark empathy should be used that way. When you are on the court, especially at the level that you are, which I'm pretty sure is not as high as Federer, Djokovic or Nadal, is that you will see in your opponent that there's a moment in which he or she feels a bit down, that he or she start to have negative talk or negative body language. And that's what you want to start to observe and use that to really feed off this energy and to couple that with your best play, knowing that, okay, my opponent right now is feeling down. What should I do? I need to be extra careful because this is an important moment of the game. This is when I want to make sure that I have a plan, that I know exactly what type of play I'm going to execute, what type of strategy I'm going to do. And you want to go for the type of play you feel the most comfortable with. I think sometimes we feel like we have to play extraordinary shots at this moment. But like I said in the previous episode of the podcast, in which I talk about tennis identity, your role as a tennis player is to know exactly what type of player you are. So when it comes to this crunch time, this moment of really high pressure, you know exactly what style of play, what type of play you need to execute. So shark empathy applied to tennis is this ability to observe and to sense your opponent's mental weakness and to use it to get the win and to play your best tennis at this moment. This is something that you can train by doing this when you play practice matches. This is something you can have this objective, is to say, okay, for today I'm going to observe my practice partner and see how he or she's reacting to certain situations and how I can use that to feel more confident. Because when you're actually playing and you see that your opponent is feeling down, it gives you much more strength. Even if you've been playing for a long time and you feel tired, you can feed off of that energy. And then once you start to identify this, then you can use it to play your best play, to be able to execute on a plan that will improve your chances to be successful. So I think this is really something that you should work on. And at the moment, of course, we cannot do practice matches. So what I recommend is to watch games of Djokovic. I think there is, I will put in the description some YouTube video that you can watch, in which you can observe how he was able to use that and you can really tell that there is always that shift, this moment when he sends that and he's able to use that to get the win. It's very interesting. And he also, another example in which he used that was the last Australian Open final, where he was not playing well. I mean, for major parts of the time of the match, and then and Dominic Thiem was playing incredible, and then he was able to again step up his game to feel the moment perhaps in which Thiem felt a bit insecure or was a bit nervous about winning his first Grand Slam title, and he used that again to get the win. But if I'm going back to this example with the Federer match in Wimbledon final, there was one thing that was very obvious in this match, is that he had to play against a very, I would say, hostile crowd, because everyone was rooting for Roger, of course, who was always the crowd's favorite. But it was really big this time. It was a lot of people were chanting Roger, Roger. And it's very interesting, because one of Novak Djokovic's biggest strengths for me is his ability to play his best tennis when he's facing adversity. And after the match, some journalists asked him how did he feel when the whole crowd was chanting Roger, Roger. And what he said was very interested. He said, when they were chanting Roger, I convinced myself that they were chanting Novak. So then the journalist started to laugh, and he said, I know it sounds silly, but I really convinced myself, because I knew ahead of the game that this will happen. I knew that I will have to face the whole crowd, and I will still need to find a way. And he explained that he had one goal for that match, and that goal was to remain calm no matter what. And it is something that you can see in this match. He was very, very calm, even when you could tell that he was maybe feeling a bit annoyed and that he wanted to get really angry when people were chanting. But he stayed. He kept this plan. And even at the end, if you look at the match point, you can see that his joy is very composed. He was not, I mean, we've seen him like celebrating and like ripping his shirt off, but this time he was quite, it was very interesting. If you can watch the way he celebrated, you can see that it's almost like he needed some time to kind of, you know, process everything that happened. And and also he often mentioned that he grew up, I mean, we all know that he grew up in Serbia and that he experienced war. And he often mentioned how this traumatic experience, I mean, there's no other word than that, helped him to really forge his mental strength. And how some of the emotions that he lived when he was leaving this war are staying with him and are giving him his strength. I mean, sometimes you can really feel that. You can really feel like it's almost that when he's in the crowd, it goes beyond tennis, it goes beyond the sport, that he goes inside himself, and that he's channeling emotion that are stronger than any other players that is on tour, that it's a matter of survival, that he will not lose this war no matter what happened. And he often did that. And that's something that, to me, I found very inspiring, because often when we are facing adversity and hurdles, we tend to kind of carry this as baggage. We carry this as something that is staying with us, but is not helping us to go up, but to kind of brings us down. And what I hope that you can learn from Novak Djokovic's story is that it's important to use your story in order to transcend it, and in order to be bigger than your story. When you're facing something, adversity, how can you use that experience in order to get something positive out of it? And I'm sure we don't need to leave war, but I know for sure that we all have had bad experiences, things that left us defeated. And the question is, okay, yes, it's bad, but what do we do with this? How are we able to use that experience in order to get a lesson and to move on and to become better? And it's very interesting, because as I'm watching him every time going against hostile crowds, I always ask myself, like, but really, like, I think that the best chance for Djokovic to lose is if nobody says anything. And Boris Becker, who was in Novak Djokovic team coaching team for several years, actually said that. He said that the worst for him is that if anything is quiet. If everything is quiet, then there's no... It seems like he loses part of his fire, of his motivation. And he was explaining how Djokovic is able to use positive energy or negative energy to his advantage. So my advice is that when you're facing adversity, and that can be like in all forms, not only hostile crowds, but people saying that you cannot make it, that you're not good enough. It can be really anything. Use that experience to build something, to build your mental strength. And I think that the reason why Djokovic is able to do that is because he made something very clear. Someone was asking, like, how can you not, how are you capable of not feeling that pressure? And he said that, to be honest, it's been a while since I'm not really feeling the pressure. And the reason why is because he is so clear about his goals as a tennis player, and he is so clear about his ability and on what he's capable of achieving, that other people's opinion doesn't matter. And I think that in order to be able to deal with the pressure so well and to face that type of hostility, it comes back to knowing exactly what you want to do with your sport, to have the type of clarity that no matter what people are saying, no matter which situation you are in, you will continue to move forward. And he actually said in an interview, the limitations only exist in our mind. And if you use your imagination, your possibilities become endless. For those who don't know, there is this story that comes back from time to time of Djokovic being 7 years old and watching Pete Sampras winning Wimbledon. And after that, he made a Wimbledon trophy and he was holding it, and he pictured himself lifting the trophy and being able to achieve that one day. And this is perhaps the third major mental quality that Novak Djokovic has, is that this ability of always wanting to grow and to become better. When we look at him, we can see a player that has what we call a holistic approach. We all know that he stopped gluten and that he improved himself, but there is also another story that I want to share with you. I can't remember exactly which year it was, but it was the year when Novak Djokovic was hired, the former professional tennis player from the US, Todd Martin, to be a consultant in his team. And they changed his serve into something that was absolutely dreadful. I mean, it was this really weird movement, and he was doing a lot of double fault. And at the time, he was number third in the world, which is pretty good. But I remember, like, when this was happening, telling myself, okay, this guy is the top of the game and is quite close to start winning a lot of Grand Slams, and he's not afraid to lose it all. He's not afraid to make the change, such a dramatic technical change at this time. Wow, I was absolutely impressed. And I believe that the reason why he was able to do that, and then it didn't work, and then he came back to a more conventional serve. But the lesson from that is that this guy has such a high knowledge of his tennis DNA, or who he is, that no matter what, he knows that he can come back. He believes in his ability to come back and to be a better player no matter what. And I also want to share another quote that he shared in an interview. He said that when he started to work on a more holistic approach, that he started to work more on meditation and all this kind of stuff, one of his teachers told him, "The greatest work that you will have in your existence is to work on yourself." And he admitted that at first he didn't really understand what it meant. But after several years of constantly trying to improve, he suddenly understood that the whole thing was not so much about the focus on the result, but the ability to always trying to try and to improve and to become a better player. And we can see this in the way that he improved, the way that he handles his nerves. When at the beginning of his career, Djokovic tended to lose his temper quite often. And even if he still does it sometimes, I mean, we all saw him breaking rackets from time to time, but he's starting to be better and better at handling his nerve under pressure. And I think this is why over the years he was able to take the mental edge over Federer and Nadal. And he explained that how meditation helped him. And I know that when it comes to meditation, a lot of us are kind of thinking, okay, this is the thing when you have to put, like, be on the ground and to, like, lift yourself up the floor. It has this very abstract way of imagining meditation. But then he was explaining that meditation is everything. Like he said that washing your dishes is actually meditation. Taking a shower is meditation. And he was explaining that to him, it's the ability, meditation to him is the ability to be in the present. And the way he also say that he manages to get calmer in the midst of a tough situation is the conscious breathing, that is able to really inhale and exhale deeply. And you see it, if you pay attention, you can tell that when he's getting very angry, he does this thing when he's like, you can see it, that he's really taking the time to inhale and exhale deeply in order to get calmer. And then he goes back and play, and he's able to play his best tennis. And that's something that is quite remarkable, and I believe that we should use. And that can be really anything when you are in that situation, when you are feeling really down. First of all, you need to be able to accept those thoughts, because a lot of time we hear, okay, you have to be positive all the time and you cannot allow any negative talk. Well, this is impossible. First of all, you will go crazy, because trying to control, and he said something very interesting. He said, trying to control all your emotion is not good, because it creates some kind of addiction and it makes you a bit on edge. What he said is that when he has negative thoughts, he accepts them. And what he has learned to do over the years is to, instead of trying to avoid them, is using that energy, is channeling those emotions, and is learning to direct them towards where he wants to be. And he said that, of course, in order to be able to do that, you need to work on your physical ability, because the tougher physically you get, the longer you can handle the pressure. If you don't have to worry about your physical ability to last for hours on the game, then you will be able to be more focused on what you have to do. So he was saying that how, like, being able to, okay, reach that physical ability helps your mental game. And my recommendation for you is to, while you are working into channeling your emotions, it's always good to understand, to work also on your physical abilities, and especially in those times in which you are not able to play due to the coronavirus situation, it's important that you are improving your physical abilities alongside your mental skills, because when you come back on the tennis court, you will know that this, you have this covered, that you can, like, and you will recover your technical level much higher. So in order to summarize this episode, we discussed Novak Djokovic's mental toughness, and we talked about shark empathy, so which is the ability to spot your opponent's weaknesses and learning how to analyze negative body language or self-talk attitude from your opponent, and to couple that with your greatest strength in order to get the win. We also talked about developing your mental strength by dealing with adversity, how you respond to a hostile crowd or people not believing in you, and that in order to get that, to get to that point in which you can silence all this negative talk around yourself, you need to be very clear about your objective and be convinced that you will reach out your potential no matter what. So that means that you have to be very clear about what you want to achieve, to visualize yourself the way Novak Djokovic did when he was 7 years old and created this Wimbledon trophy, and keep that line of thought no matter what. And again, the third thing that we learned today is about the growth mentality, how to always improve and have a holistic approach, how you can become a better player, not being afraid to take risk or to try to improve things, to change, to welcome new ideas, new practices, because you have a firm belief in what you want to achieve, and you have a solid belief and conviction in your tennis identity, which I explain what it is in the second episode of the Players Lounge. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed this, and don't forget to subscribe if you like the content and rate it as well. And talk to you next time. Bye.